I want to extend my thanks for all my family members and friends that have came. If you received an invitation, there's many more that I was able to that I invited that weren't able to make it this morning. But if I invited you, and there were so many more that I could have invited as well, but I want to thank you all because you've been a blessing in my life, and I just want to thank you all for that. And forgive me, I get a little teary eyed sometimes. But this morning, we're going to be in 1 John chapter 1. This passage, this letter was written by John to believers everywhere. And essentially what he was doing here was to reassure Christians in their faith and counter false teachings. And I don't know about you all, but if you go to different churches in the area, in the world, you can become well aware, if you compare what they're teaching to Scripture, that there are a lot of false things that are being taught from the pulpit. And this is exactly why John was writing. He was writing in the later years of his life, before he was exiled to the Isle of Patmos. And as soon as I get there, we'll go ahead and start reading. We're in 1 John chapter 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. See, they start out this letter encouraging. They're not starting this out to make you doubt, but to reassure you in which you've placed your faith. To stamp out false teachings that are running rampant through the church. And these are the things that aren't outside the church that are being taught. These are within the temple. And that is why he writes to Christians everywhere. This letter was not addressed to anyone specific. But that's a clear indication that it's for us. The things that we encounter today in America are the same things that he wrote about 2,000 years ago. And the message is there, but we have to look through the Scriptures to find it. So that we'll read on. Verse 5. This then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and we walk in darkness, we lie and we do not know the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar. And His word is not in us. So this morning, as we read these Scriptures, know that I am not speaking, but the Lord our God is speaking. This is not something that I've come up with. It's not an agenda.
How about you? That's a word. I'm proud of you, honey. Very proud of you.
Well, my apologies. Sometimes I can't hold it in. So we have here written before us we're in 1 John chapter 1, if you all would like to turn there. Start again in verse 5. This then is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all evil, all sin, rather. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. I don't know why God brought each of you here today, but there's a message that he has for each of us. We all sin and come short of the glory of God. But if we are in Christ, then we are new creatures. So we have the conviction of the Holy Spirit upon us. And we cannot walk in darkness if we have the light inside us. We can't. No matter what kind of darkness we're walking in, no matter what we're doing that we know is wrong, if we confess our sins, he is righteous and just to forgive us. And he will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But we have to confess. First, we have to realize where we're wrong. We have to repent from that. We cannot continue walking in the darkness if the light is in us. Luke chapter 24, starting in verse 45, says this: Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the Scriptures, and said unto them, Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer, and to rise from the dead the third day, and the repentance and the remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem, and ye be endued by the power on high. In this passage, he's talking to the ten. This is after his resurrection. He died so we could live. He took on the sin of the world so that we didn't have to. He took on the sin of the world so that we could live a righteous life. When he took on our sin, when we accept him, we accept his righteousness. That means we are no longer continuing down the same path in sin, but we are walking according to the light. When you walk into a room and there's a candle in the room, that is the focal point. You see nothing else. The same is in us. If we're in darkness, our light will shine. Christ's light will shine through us. We have an obligation and a duty, if we believe in Jesus Christ, to confess our sins, to understand when we are in the wrong, that we need His forgiveness. And His forgiveness is without condition. Paul, one of the more wicked men in Scripture, doing what he thought was a service to God, killing Christians. Christ blinded him, manifested himself, and revealed him to Paul. Paul goes on to write a lot of what we now have as the New Testament. There are people out there that boil down your salvation to a single prayer at a single time in your life. But your salvation is so much more than that. It's a relationship with Christ Jesus. The only way that it continues is if you continue it. He is always there. He is unmoving. The only person that moves, if you wake up one day, realize, where is God? Where is God gone? You know, He didn't go anywhere. You did. You walked away for Him in cold blood. Denied Him. We as the church are not here in this body, in this congregation. We're not here to preach about what the world's doing wrong. We're here to preach what the church is doing wrong. We are to be in Jesus Christ. We are to repent so that the remission of sins can take place. We'll go back to 1 John. In chapter 2 it says, "My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And He is the propitiation for our sins. And not our sins only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And hereby we do know that we know Him, if we keep His commandments." That's the only way that we can know if we know Him. Is if we feel the conviction to do right and to steer from wrong. Flee from all unrighteousness. "He that saith, I know Him, and keepeth not His commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth His word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in Him. He that saith he abideth in Him, ought himself also to walk, even as He walked. Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment, which ye had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which ye have heard from the beginning. And again, a new commandment I write I unto you, which thing is true in Him and in you, because the darkness is past, and the true light now shineth. He that saith, he is in the light, and hateth his brother, is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness, and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because the darkness hath blinded his eyes." If we say that we believe in Christ, but there are no fruit, how can we know? You know, faith is not by works. We see that in James. We see in Scripture that faith is not by works, lest any man should boast. But in James it says, your faith without works is dead. You're not supposed to work your way to heaven. But if you have faith in Jesus Christ, guess what? It's time to get to work. You know why? There are people that are dying and going to hell because we're not doing what we're called to do. It breaks my heart to see so many people walking in darkness that claim to be in the light. It breaks my heart. I'm afraid for people who have a false assurance. We know that if we confess our sins before Jesus, He is faithful and just to forgive us. And He will cleanse all unrighteousness.
That's what he will do for us. For all of us. You know what? If we're in darkness, we can become.
If we are in darkness, the light will reveal itself to us. Darkness flees from light. So if you have light in you, then the darkness will flee from that. But here's the thing. If we know the truth and we don't do it, we're worse than an unbeliever. The state of this country is on a rapid decline. We're on a path I don't think we can come back from. But you know what? Our faith isn't, it's not in the country. It's not in our government. It's not in people. It's in Christ. That's the only security we have, is in Christ. We must preach the gospel. Each and every one of us. We are all called by God. If we believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, He died and rose again on the third day so that your sins might be forgiven. He paid that debt. So you didn't have to. He's calling everyone who believes in the name of Jesus Christ to share the gospel. It will be sent unto the ends of the earth, as it says in Acts chapter 1. When the Holy Spirit was promised. This morning, I'm not here to accuse anyone of what they're doing, but I'm here to accuse all of us for our sin. Myself included. I had to ask forgiveness just this morning. You know why? Because I'm human. I need its forgiveness. And I know that if I confess and I repent of that, He is faithful and He is just to forgive us. See, I'm not preaching to you all even as much as I'm preaching to myself. But this is where God spoke to me. Earlier this week, there was a young man that essentially called Christ the deceiver of nations. Someone we spoke to, and based on our conversation, he was a believer in Christ. Based on our knowledge. He talked the talk, he walked the walk. We had a Bible study with him. Appeared as a new believer. But he denied Christ his lordship. The truth wasn't in him. Now we pray. We pray that God will save him. No man comes unto the Father but through Christ. Here's the thing. I know what I'm doing wrong. I know what I'm doing wrong, and I know the sins that I struggle with. You know the sins that you struggle with. You know them. My question for you and all of you, are you repenting from them? Are you repenting from what you're doing that is clearly opposing Scripture? There's been times where I haven't. But we will be judged for that. There will be punishment for walking according to the flesh and not according to the Spirit. We know if we believe Jesus Christ to be Lord, we do have salvation in that. But we have to understand that if we believe it to be true, then we should take this Bible, every person we come in contact with, we should tell them about Jesus. Now, I know feasibly, that's unlikely, but the fact that we're so far from where we're supposed to be, And we'll never be perfect. I'm not stating that we must be perfect. Don't misunderstand me. And neither is Scripture. It says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. So if you're sitting there right now and you say you have nothing to repent of in your life, the truth isn't in you. But if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, every bit. Every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord. But when are you going to do that? Are you going to do that now or are you going to do that at judgment? We as Christians have an obligation to tell people about Jesus. I'm not here to preach a feel-good message. I'm here to tell you what the Word of God says. The conviction of the Holy Spirit continues to show me what I do wrong. And I'm far from where I need to be. Even preaching this message. You know, I'm not qualified. I'm not qualified for this. But God has called me to do it. What's He calling you to? Because it is something. There is more. You know, it's sad. I never thought about this until Damon had mentioned it a few weeks ago in one of his sermons. In the Roman Catholic Church, there was one translation. The only person who had access to it were the priests. The people were at the mercy of someone else. Now, we've got it. Right in front of us. And you know what? We have given ourselves over to the pastors that lead us. And them alone. We don't study the Scripture to see if their doctrine is accurate. We don't look. But I'm going to tell you right now, if you open the Bible, just start reading. And you'll see. You'll see the lies that we've been taught. Now, some of them some of the things are minor. Some of the things are major. And I'm not here casting judgment on anybody that's ever taught, any one of you all or myself. But I am here to tell you that we have an obligation. We have the Word in front of us. We have no excuse. We have no excuse. I'm going to tell you all right now. It's the only message. If the only time you ate was once a week, it was on Sunday morning, do you think you would survive? How many of us eat one time a week? One time a month, a couple times a year, you know? I was starving because I wasn't feeding myself. I was at the mercy of whoever was leading me. And there is an obligation for us to be like the Bereans in Acts and check the Scriptures, search them for the truth, because the truth is here. People talk now about personal truths. There is no personal truth. There is one truth, and it's right here. Amen. So this morning, I want to charge each and every one of you. Because that's what the scripture says. We're to call men. God will call men and women. I charge you all not to be let me clarify. I'm not trying to coerce any of you into anything. I don't want any of you to make an emotional statement. I don't need to know what you're going through, what you're struggling with. But I know that we're all struggling. All of us. But you know what? The Lord is a shield for us. He is the lifter of our head. He will protect us. You know what? That doesn't mean that we might not lose our life for the gospel. We might lose our life for His sake. Think about how many people have done it before. How many people are doing it now with ISIS? They're losing their life for the gospel of Jesus Christ. So we are called. If we have faith in Jesus Christ, we are called to a holy life. Not a perfect life, but a holy life. A life that is reflectant to the one above. And I don't want any of you all to think that I have this holier-than-thou perspective, because I don't. Because I know I'm probably worse than any one of you and have been worse. But you know what? Through faith in Christ Jesus, He's cleansed my sins. He's pulled me from those depths that I was walking. And I'm not walking them anymore. I may falter, I may stumble. But you know what? I confess. And I repent, because that's what we're called to do. So this I charge you. Accept God's call. Whatever that is. I'm not asking you to pray a prayer. I'm not asking you to come up front. I'm not asking you to raise your hand. Accept God's calling. That's what I charge you. And if you all would join me, someone else wants to kind of lead in the singing of The Amazing Grace. You don't want to hear me above everybody else. So if someone else would like to chime in, I'd like to sing this song again, if that's okay with you all. I didn't want to say that. I didn't want to pull you away. My fears relieved,
chains are gone. I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy reigns. Unending love, amazing grace.
Your chains are gone if you believe in Christ.
His word, my hope secures. He will my shield and portion be. As long as life endures, chains are gone. I've been set free. My God, my Savior. Shall soon dissolve like snow. The sun forbear to shine. But God, who called me here below, will be forever mine. Be forever. Forever mine.
Your chains are gone, and you've been set free. If you have that faith in Christ Jesus, you can be set free. But unless you confess, some people will say that any sin that's unconfessed you will receive judgment for, but that's not the case. If we're in Christ, He's forgiven us past, present, and future sins. But we are to confess. If we feel the drawing of the Holy Spirit, the conviction in our hearts, we must confess. We must repent. You know why? Because the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That's the message that was preached. And that's the message that we will preach. We are the church if we believe in Christ. If any of you here doesn't have that faith, it is available to you. That grace. Unending love and amazing grace. So with this, we'll close in a word of prayer. And afterwards, Damon's going to come up. We're going to serve communion. If you are a believer, we encourage you to partake. If you are not, or if you are unsure, we would be happy to talk to you about that. But if you are an unbeliever, if you do not believe Jesus Christ is Lord, then we would ask that you not participate in the communion. Now, if you'd like, bow your heads and we'll go ahead and go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father God, I thank you so much for this day. Thank you for this group of people that have came out. A lot of them came to hear me preach. And I pray that your work was accomplished through the words that you've given us here today. And I pray that your work would continue in us so that we may be continued to form, to continually reformed, so that we are like Christ. I pray for each and every person in this room, God. You had a message for each and every one of us. And I don't know the message. I don't know where it's going to hit the hardest. But I know that it's going to hit. And we know that when your word is preached, there is power in your word. So right now, I want to uplift each and every person in this room. Whatever they're battling, whatever they're struggling, if they've walked away from you, let them come home. Like the prodigal son, he goes away, he does his own thing, but God, bring them back home. Bring them home. You're calling them, and they will come. So I pray that by the power and the blood of Jesus Christ, each and every person in this room would walk away from here having heard this message, taking it to heart. And I pray those who are struggling, you would give them encouragement. Father, I thank you so much for the great work that you did when you sent your son Jesus to die on the cross for us. We are unworthy, undeserving of your mercy and your grace. But you've given that to us freely. We don't have to clean ourselves up to come to it. But you know what? When we come to it, we will be clean. When we encounter the light, there is no darkness. So we must go forth and sin no more. If we sin, we confess it before the Lord. He's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And I pray these things in Jesus' powerful and holy name. Amen. Appreciate you, man.